Good afternoon, delegates. Can we please take our seats so that we can get started? We are behind schedule and we have a lot to do, so I request that we take our seats. As agreed on Monday, we are going to move to agenda item 13. But before we start, I'd like to call upon the secretary to give us some information. Secretary, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have received the nomination form for the Vice Chair of the Commission, and we would like to inform you of the candidates for Vice Chair. We go by alphabetical order. Mrs. Gabriela Catalani of Argentina, Mr. Samuel Godefroy of Canada, Mrs. Awilo Osheng Pernet of Switzerland, Mr. Samuel Sefa Dede of Ghana, and Mr. Roy Sparinga of Indonesia. So we have five candidates for three seats of vice chair. So we will proceed with the election of the vice chair after the session ends at 5:30. And before that, our legal counsels have asked to have 15 minutes at 5:15 to have 15 minutes to explain the procedure to all delegates so that it should be very clear to everybody, as we did previous occasions. So at 5:15, we will stop the discussion and we will proceed with the explanation from our legal counsel, and then at 5:30 we will proceed with the vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. We now move to agenda item 13. Which is relations between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations. And we have a number of our partners and collaborators who have asked to speak during this session of the Commission. The information will be found in info documents which were circulated. We are going to call upon OIE, if OIE is here. OIE, thank you very much. So I want to advise that we keep the presentation short, since we already have the information, and only focus on those issues that the Commission members would like more clarification. So I'll now call upon Dr. Valat to make the presentation on behalf of OIE. Dr. Valat, please.
Thank you, Chair. So, Madam Chair and Vice Chairs, Madam Secretary, Ministers and Delegates, representatives of international and regional organizations, distinguished participants. In opening, I would like to thank the FAO-WHO and the Secretariat of the Codex Alimentarius Commission for giving me this opportunity to address you on behalf of the members of the World Organization for Animal Health, the OIE. I also thank Karin Hulbach for having accepted the invitation to address our World Assembly of Delegates in May this year. For more information about our activities, please see the detailed report provided at document CAC/34/inf/2. The OIE held its 79th General Session on 23 to 27 May 2011. At this session, the OIE adopted revisions to the basic text, including amendments to the general rules. These amendments provide for the adoption of standards on the basis of consensus and, if consensus cannot be obtained, now on the basis of a two-third majority vote. Before was just a majority, a simple majority. They also contain provisions addressing potential conflict of interest for members of specialist commissions, working groups, ad hoc groups, OIE reference centers, and other experts, and provision concerning the protection of legitimate confidentiality. In the past 12 months, the OIE has participated in several meetings of Codex and its committees, and we welcome the participation of Codex staff and experts in OIE meetings, notably the OIE Working Group on Animal Production Food Safety. Ongoing collaboration between Codex and OIE is essential given current understanding of the contribution of animal health at the production level to the sanitary safety of the food chain from farm to fork. The OIE and Codex should continue to strengthen this collaboration to ensure that our standards are consistent and complementary and to avoid gaps, contradiction and duplication. The OIE continue to work to strengthen the capacities of members to meet the OIE and WTO standards relevant to animal health and zoonotic diseases, including by following the so-called OIE PVS pathway. This is a pathway for strengthening veterinary services and aquatic animal health services by using the OIE tool for the evaluation of performance of veterinary services and related activities, including missions for strengthening veterinary legislation. In this regard, the OIE encourage Codex to take into account both the OIE standards and the PVS pathway procedures in developing recommendations on any requirements for national inspection services for food of animal origin, which are currently being addressed by CCFIX. The role of veterinary services in food safety is addressed by OIE standards and the OIE PVS tool, and the OIE's experience in the evaluation of more than 110 members provides a valuable input to this work. At the 33rd session of the Codex Commission, I reiterated the OIE's wish to continue strengthening the relationship with Codex, including through the proposed joint development by the OIE and Codex of standards relevant to safe foods of animal origin where appropriate. I note that the Codex Secretariat distributed a circular letter to national Codex contact points in 2010 on this topic and requested that members provide comments to inform discussion at the 27th session of the Codex Committee on General Principles in 2012. The OIE looks forward to further discussion and will continue to work with the Codex Secretariat on this matter. As I have mentioned in previous presentations to these commissions, the growth of private standards in international trade continue to be of concern to OIE members, particularly developing countries. At the request of members, the OIE is establishing mechanisms for coordination with global private standard-setting bodies to help gain and understanding of the implications of private standards and to encourage these bodies to avoid conflicts with official standards, including, for example, by making specific references to the OIE and Codex standards as appropriate. As part of this collaboration, the OIE is signing an official agreement with the Global Food Safety Initiative this year, and the OIE continue to explore opportunities for closer collaboration. The OIE convened an expert ad hoc group on zoonotic parasites, which held its first meeting in October 2010. As the scope of the group's work is broader than food safety, the OIE invited participation from the WHO and FAO rather than from Codex. That group updated the OIE Terrestrial Code chapter on trichinellosis and developed recommendations on Echinococcus granulosus, a zoonotic parasite that is not associated with food, but whose transmission can be prevented using good hygiene measures. The revised code chapter on trichinellosis and new recommendation on Echinococcus granulosus were sent to a member for comment in March 2011. The OIE is pleased to accept the invitation to attend a meeting of the Codex Physical Working Group on guidelines for control of specific zoonotic parasites in meat, Trichinella spiralis and Cysticercus bovis in July 2011. This should help to ensure a coordinated approach between Codex and the OIE in this area of work, in which OIE is developing new standards on farm level. Madam Chair, in closing, may I assure you of my strong commitment on behalf of 178 OIE members to continuing established close relationship with Codex. I believe that our current close and effective working relationship reflects the commitment on the part of the Secretariat and, most importantly, the members of the two organizations. However, in the era of global One Health, I believe that it is possible for us to extend this collaboration to further benefit members of both organizations. The OIE is ready to address this challenge with you. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, OIE. I recognize the flag of Japan. Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. Japan welcomes continued collaboration between Codex and OIE for ensuring the safety of food of animal origins in the international food trade and production. Japan would like to touch upon ongoing discussion held at the WTO SPS committee in the context of the third review of the operation and implementation of the SPS agreement. This includes the chair's report of the workshop of the SPS agreement. This includes the chair's report of the workshop of the SPS commission in October 2009. And recommendation on joint work by two or all these sisters on crossing cutting issues. For success of joint work among sister organizations, Japan considers that procedure of work should be coherent and transparent. In this regard, Japan recognizes that OIE has a set of principles on consensus seeking in its standard setting process. However, OIE needs a clear written procedure and risk analysis principles to be applied in order to enhance their transparency of work. Japan expects that OIE will endeavors to utilize a uniform procedure for standard evaluation and to provide membership with ample opportunity to comment, thereby ensuring transparency and inclusiveness. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan, for those observations. I don't see any more flags. I just want to note, and in the information paper, the issue of joint standards and the process which we have agreed to as a commission that will lead to the committee of the general principles looking at some of the issues that are being raised this afternoon. I don't know whether legal has any comments on the presentation of OIE. No comments. So we note the information provided by OIE, and more specifically, the continued collaboration between the two agencies, which benefit both organizations. Thank you very much, OIE. I'd like now to call upon the WTO, Mr. Javier Ochampo, to make the statement on behalf of WTO. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to brief the Commission on the relevant activities of the WTO SPS Committee since the last session of the CAC. A written report was submitted by the WTO Secretariat and can be found in document CAC/34INF/3. I'll allow participants to read the report at their leisure, but I would like to highlight and update the CAC on a few important matters. From 2010 through March 2011, 13 food safety-related trade concerns were raised in the SPS committee for the first time, while 6 previously raised trade concerns were reported to have been resolved. You can find these specific trade concerns on page 1 through 3 of the report. Turning to technical assistance and capacity building, I am pleased to inform the Commission that 4 regional SPS workshops are planned to take place in this year, namely the Caribbean, to take place in July in Barbados, and then in November, we will have one for English-speaking Africa to take place in Kenya, French-speaking Africa to take place tentatively in Mali, and Middle East and Arab countries to take place in Qatar. A representative of CODEX will actively participate as a resource person in this regional SPS workshop. In the past, WTO has been able to fund the CODEX representative to participate in these regional events, and we expect to be the case this year as well. We expect to invite between 15 and 30 countries, depending on the region, to each of these events. The WTO, we will be covering the cost for participants for these activities. The Secretariat will also be organizing a special workshop on SPS coordination at national and regional levels, and an advanced SPS course, both to be held in Geneva in October 2011. The WTO will be funding a number of participants for these events. Please note that since the applications for the African and Arab region events have been disappointingly low, the deadline for applications for WTO funding has been extended to 22 July instead of 8 July. A one-page summary in the form of a flyer of all of our TA activities for 2011 is available at the document desk. I would like to encourage members to distribute this information on technical assistance to your relevant authorities so that they can benefit from these activities. Moving on to the issue of transparency in the SPS committee, we are happy to announce that we have launched a new online SPS notification submission system, NSS, which allows members to fill out and submit SPS notifications directly online. Concerning the third review of the operation and implementation of the SPS agreement, at the October 2010 informal meeting, members agreed to prioritize three issues for consideration under the work of the committee, one of them being the cooperation between the SPS committee and the Three Sisters. On this issue, recommendations were drawn from those resulted from the 2009 workshop on the relationship between the SPS committee and the Three Sisters. These recommendations include, as already Japan mentioned it, joint work by two or all Three Sisters on cross-cutting issues such as certification, inspection, approval procedures, and or risk analysis. Consideration of how to ensure equivalence among results of standards on related products. Soliciting more information at the strategic planning phase of the Three Sisters work, and identifying ways to improve coordination at a national level of the relevant representatives of the Three Sisters and SPS representatives. On the issue of private standards, in March 2011, the committee agreed on five proposed actions to define the scope of the discussions on SPS-related private standards and promote information exchange among various entities with a stake in the evolution of the SPS-related private standards within existing resources. The committee will discuss the mechanics of implementing the agreed actions as well as further examination of other proposed actions on which there is no consensus at our upcoming October meeting. Mr. Chair, let me end with an update on dispute settlements. As of March 2011, 14 panels have been established to consider 19 SPS-related issues, in which three of these have concerned food safety regulations. There have been new developments on two of these cases. On the panel on EU measures affecting the approval and marketing of biotech products brought by the United States, Canada, and Argentina, a mutually agreed solution was notified to the WTO in July 2009 and March 2010 regarding the complaints from Canada and Argentina, respectively. On the panel on the United States measures affecting imports from poultry from China, the panel held that the U.S. measure was inconsistent with various provisions of the SPS agreement, but it did not make any recommendations because the measure had expired. The panel report was not appealed, and it was formally adopted by the WTO members in October 2010. Further details on the dispute cases and other matters can be found in our written report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, WTO. We take note of the various activities that are being undertaken under WTO and those that are upcoming. And again, to request the members interested in those activities to contact WTO. Thank you very much. I'll now call upon the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mr. David Byron, to make a statement. David, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the Codex Alimentarius Commission for this invitation to present a brief synopsis of activities of the joint FAO-IEA Division on Nuclear Techniques in Food and Agriculture. The information is in detail in document CAC/34-INF7. What I'd mostly like to highlight at this meeting, Mr. Chairman, is our activities related to the recent Japanese nuclear emergency. In particular, we work with various FAO divisions in Rome, as well as with other international organizations in preparing for and responding to nuclear and radiological emergencies affecting food and agriculture, including the application of FAO capabilities as a critical counterpart in defining and implementing agricultural countermeasures and remediation strategies in response to these events. I'd like to state that recent activities of the FAO and the joint FAO-IAEA division, which is located at the IAEA in Vienna, includes staffing an FAO desk in the IAEA Incident and Emergency Center in Vienna to prepare and present briefing texts and information on food contamination monitoring and restrictions on food distribution and or consumption in the Japanese situation. Participation in video and teleconferences through the Interagency Committee on Radiological and Nuclear Emergencies, of which FAO is a full partner, to ensure a unified approach in addressing issues related to food and agriculture. We collaborated with FAO and the WHO in the preparation and dissemination of questions and answers related to food safety, including the application of international standards and the Codex guideline levels for radionuclides in foods. And finally, Mr. Chairman, we initiated and participated in a food safety assessment mission to Japan. This was at the end of March, to identify and assist in activities related to emergency preparedness and response and remediation strategies in Japan. We have many other activities related to food safety, both in the area of food contamination and the use of food irradiation. I just like to highlight one of those activities is a coordinated research project on the development of generic irradiation doses for quarantine treatments. We just heard of the three sisters. One of the sisters, of course, is the IPPC, the International Plant Protection Convention. And our research activities have led to the adoption of 14 post-harvest phytosanitary treatments for pests of quarantine importance. Two more brief matters, Mr. Chairman. We also collaborate with the Codex Committees on pesticide residues and on veterinary drug residues in foods, and we're currently redeveloping a database that will include all Codex-adopted methods and IAEA-developed methods in a repository under our Joint Division webpages. Last but not least, Mr. Chairman, in relation to the control of mycotoxins in foods, and this was raised as well at the 65th session of the Executive Committee held last week, the joint FAO-IAEA division is cooperating with both FAO, Rome, and the World Food Program on requirements and a possible structure for an online tool and database to help design sampling schemes to detect mycotoxins in various commodities for various mycotoxins in diverse regions and environments. And the next meeting on that, Mr. Chairman, will be sometime this fall. Thank you very much for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, IAEA, for updating us on the work that is currently being undertaken and the relationship we have with the Commission. Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. We would like to express our appreciation to the assistance and support provided by IAEA and other international organizations in emergency response to the nuclear power plant accident. For food safety and public health, number of immediate actions have been taken by the government of Japan. We make an effort to ensure that all food distributed should meet regulation values of nucleoside and conduct food safety and environmental monitoring. All data of food and environmental monitoring collected so far have been provided in open domains. The information are also shared with relevant international organizations, i.e., IAEA, FAO, and WHO. Under the strong commitment of the Prime Minister of Japan, we continue our utmost efforts to ensure that any food that exceed regulatory limits are not on the market. We also continue improving transparency and provision of accurate information as much as possible. We are very pleased to work closely with relevant organizations in order to tackle the problem on radionuclide contamination. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. We note that statement and the continued collaboration with the International Atomic Energy Agency. Thank you very much. May I now invite OECD? OECD, are we here? No, I don't see OECD. I now invite the Director General of International Organization of Vine and Wine, OIV, Federico Castellucci, the Director General, to make a statement. Please.
Thank you, Chair. Authorities, ladies and gentlemen, member countries of the Codex, observer, it is a very fine pleasure for me today to take the floor just a very few days before welcoming the organization 45th member state, and namely the Republic of India. The OIV is keen to demonstrate its interest in the works of the Codex and the need for our two organizations to coordinate and cooperate in fields of common interest. The International Organization of Vine and Wine, OIV, which has held observer status with the Codex for many years, is defined as an intergovernmental organization of a scientific and technical nature. We recognize expertise in the fields of vine, wines, and wine-based beverage, table grapes, and raisin, and other wine-based products. Since the decision taken by the Codex Alimentarius Commission in 1976 not to develop standards on wine, the relationship between the two organizations has always produced results, and I can only be delighted with this. There are many cross-references. For example, works in connection with the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food. The OIV was involved in the works conducted by the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Food as an observer. The collaboration between the Codex and the OIV recently became a reality when the Codex Alimentarius Commission adopted the Code of Practice for the Prevention and Reduction of Ochratoxin A contamination in wine. Today, the OIV continues its active participation in the work of the Codex Committee on Contaminants with the revision of certain limits and in particular that of lead in wines. The OIV has already declared its interest in participating in the Codex Electronic Working Group on the revision of lead limits launched during the fifth session on the Commerce Committee on Contaminants in Food. Works in connection now with the Codex Committee on Food Additives. The OIV also plays an equally active part in the works by the Codex Committee on Food Additives, especially during discussion concerning provisions relating to food additives in the Codex General Standards for Food Additives, GSFA, in particular for the grape wine category and its subcategories. A few years ago, the OIV was one of the principal organizations involved in the review of the foods category system by asking in particular for the grape wines category to be differentiated from the wines other than grape category. Today, the OIV wants to continue its active involvement in the works by the Commerce Committee of Food Additives, especially those regarding provisions relating to food additives in the Codex General Standard for Food Additives for the grape wine category and its subcategory. The OIV has already declared its interest in participating in the Electronic Working Group on identifying food categories for which the use of acidity regulators or emulsifiers, stabilizers and thickeners is technologically justified. The OEV will also work with the committee by providing specific additional information on food additives for the grape wine category. As concerns works in connection with the Codex Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, the OEV was involved in the works conducted by the Commerce Committee as an observer. The collaboration between the Codex and the OEV recently became a reality with a scientific contribution during the finalization of the Codex standard for table grapes, and more particularly the section related to the maturity and minimum weights for bunches. In 2008, OEV member states adopted by consensus a standard on the minimum maturity requirement for table grapes. Today, the OEV wants to continue its active participation in the work of the Codex Committee for Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, and in particular that targeting certain provision in the Codex standard for table grapes. Furthermore, the OEV's work on a specific standard for raisin may also constitute, when adopted, a scientific and technical contribution to the Codex Committee work. In addition, several standards and principles laid down by the Codex Alimentarius have been taken into consideration when drafting specific standards for the vitivinicultural sector. These include, in particular, the role of science in developing standards, the principle established by the Committee on Food Import and Export Inspection and Certification Systems adopted by the Commission in developing the OIV draft resolution regarding the traceability guidelines in the vitivinicultural sector, the principle and definition established by the Codex Alimentarius on biotechnologies which were taken into account when drafting certain definitions specific to the wine and vine sector with regards to biotechnologies. This demonstrates the interest that the OIV has in the Codex works, as well as the need for our two organizations to coordinate and cooperate in fields of common interest. Nowadays, as international standards have become increasingly important to the mechanism established by the World Trade Organization, relations between the Codex Alimentarius and the wine and vine sector represented by the OIV should be strengthened. Grape-based beverages are an integral part of foodstuffs and constitute an increasing share of international trade. The OIV developed also in strong collaboration with FAO, the worldwide statistics of the vitivinicultural sector. All the data are available on the OIV website, and in the world of today, almost 40% of wine is consumed outside its country of production. And for many countries, many of which are not very affluent countries, trade in vitivinicultural products represent a significant part of the export in terms of value. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Director General, OIV. We thank you for the continued cooperation with Codex, and do encourage more cooperation. I'd like now to move on to the relations between the Commission and the international non-government organization. And I'd like now to invite ISO, the Secretary for ISO Technical Committee 34, Madam Sandrine, to make a statement. ISO, please.
I thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to comment as an observer to the Commission. So I am the Secretary, as you mentioned, of the ISO Technical Committee on Food Products, ISO TC34, and I am taking the floor on behalf of ISO Deputy Secretary General, Mr. Kevin McKinley, who is unable to attend the session today. ISO is an international non-governmental organization consisting of the Standards Institute of 163 countries. ISO is the leading developer of formal, voluntary international standards with a collection of more than 18,500 standards. With more of 800 of these in the food sector. ISO develops international standards according to the principles stipulated by WTO-TBT, and especially transparency, openness, impartiality, and consensus, and that is very important, addressing the concerns of developing countries. Indeed, ISO offers technical assistance to developing countries to support participation in its technical work, attendance at ISO meetings, and capacity building to use and implement ISO standards. It is to be noted that consumers participate in ISO works. ISO and CODEX have a long history of cooperation and complementary work. A full report of our collaboration is outlined in document CAC/34/6. CAC is a valued partner for ISO in the field of food safety, where ISO seeks to develop standards that complement the work of CAC and facilitate its implementation. Collaboration is essential, and to this end, ISO is organizing a regional workshop on fisheries and aquaculture in September 2011 in Indonesia, and that will involve the FAO, the CAC Secretariat, OIE, and the Industry Forum, GFSI, the Global Food Safety Initiative. See the paragraph 8 of our report. So ISO could be a linkage or a bridge with the global food industry, manufacturers, retailers. ISO TC34 food products and its subcommittee on food safety management systems continue to harmonize industry prerequisite programs in coordination with CAC. See paragraph 26 of the report. And I am really happy to inform the CAC that the next plenary meeting of ISO TC34 will be organized in Kenya in April 2012 with a special seminar dedicated to African developing countries. Last but not least, for information to CAC members, ISO and OIE signed today during the lunch an agreement on cooperation on liaison work in areas of common interest. I thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, the International Standards Organization, ISO. I'd like to thank all the delegations that have made statements to the Commission. I'd like to pledge the Commission's sincere thanks to you for that cooperation and collaboration, and we hope that will continue to benefit both organizations. Thank you very much. That concludes agenda item number 13. We'll now go back to agenda item 7, chaired by Vice Chair Davi, to move on with our program. I thank you.